This is KHOI 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames.
And the sun is out, first time in a long while. Oh, and I'm feeling fine now. Feeling fine now. Well, my memory calls like cannonballs from the air to my head now. To my head now. No matter how far down I get, well, I know I'll be alright with it, 'cause I'm glad to be alive. Cause I'm glad to be alive. We all wanna walk through these red, red lights. Red, red lights now. 'Cause all these troubled eyes in this troubled world. 'Cause all of these troubled hearts. Around. 'Cause I'm glad to be alive.
And welcome to Inside of the Mind, a program that helps you keep pivoting towards mental health during these most challenging times. My name's Carrie, and I'll be one of your hosts for the next hour.
And I'm Julie, your other host. Hey, Carrie, this is our fourth show, and so far it has been an amazing ride.
Yep.
You know, to be able to have a platform to discuss mental illness, you know, a topic that in the past has been one that we shy away from, primarily, you know, I think due to stigma.
Mm-hmm.
So on this show, we have been taking a look into a variety of different mental health diagnoses, what to look for in yourself or others, ways that you can cope, and of course, knowing that recovery is possible. If you are new to Inside of the Mind, we welcome you. And if you are a seasoned listener, you know that on past shows, we have covered anxiety, depression. And a few weeks ago, Sergeant Joel Cogden with the Ames Police Department was a guest who talked about his personal struggle with depression and his road to recovery.
Yeah, our fourth show.
Woohoo!
I know. A reminder to our listeners, though, that our show does not air the first or last Saturday of the month. So Julie and I, we've had a couple of weeks off, and Julie, I did see that you spent some time with Gwen. And for those of you that don't know, Gwen is Julie's hammock.
Yes.
She loves Gwen very much.
I have named my hammock Gwen. You know how much I love her. In all seriousness, this is actually one of my coping skills, along with my new blow-up pool.
Nice.
So what have you been up to, Carrie, the last couple of weeks?
Well, I'd like to say I've done something monumental with my time, but not really. Like, I'd like to say I've climbed a mountain, maybe opened a can of beans with my tea. Well, but really, I've just been enjoying my times outdoors. I've had a lot of birthday parties going to, which, by the way, shout out happy birthday to my friend Stacy. She's celebrating the big 5-1 today.
Ooh, happy birthday, Stacy.
Yeah. So just some time outdoors, you know.
Awesome.
Love this time of year a lot. Before we dive into the show, we want to tell you a little bit about who we are. I'm Carrie. This is my 20th year working in the mental health field. I'm currently employed by Ireley Ball Unity Point in the Crisis Services Division.
And I'm Julie. I'm the mental health advocate for the Ames Police Department. I have been in this field for over 12 years, and prior to working at the police department, I was an in-home mental health counselor working with children ages 3 to 17. I am very passionate about supporting, educating, and advocating for anyone who's suffering from mental illness or substance abuse.
Yeah. So Julie, in our first show, our very first show, we talked a bit about the effects of COVID, the impact that it has on all of us.
Right.
Like in our home, in our personal lives. But now, you know, that most people are going back to work, what do you think? You think it's a good time to talk about that transition?
Oh my gosh,
going back
absolutely.
To work?
It's been very stressful, to say the least.
I mean, throughout this whole pandemic, we've all been going through collective trauma together.
Right.
It's brought up all kinds of feelings, such as grief, loss, panic over livelihoods, mm-hmm. concerns over the lives of our loved ones. And lots of people during this time, which we touched on a bit, you know, in our first show, that, you know, have been trying to survive poverty and fear and re-triggering of trauma and re-triggering of other mental health difficulties.
Right.
Okay, but as we move back into the workplace, things are looking, you know, differently for us. We're going to try to figure out what this new normal is. And I think, you know, it's going to take some time.
Absolutely. I mean, Carrie, I mean, there is definitely a fear of not only going back to what we deem to be normal,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then we have to adjust to a new normal, so to speak, you know, one that comes with uncertainties, anxiety, you know, fear. I know that just in the past few weeks, as I see things moving back to normal or what, you know, whatever, I guess that is, and coworkers coming back to work, you know, it's unsettling to say the least, to be honest. I think, you know, we, meaning all city employees, feel the stress of knowing the financial toll that COVID has already taken. And I think it's fair to say that we fear loss of jobs, possible furlough in the future. I mean, who knows? I mean, coupled with, again, trying to adjust to the new normal, not to mention the stress of what's happening mm-hmm. in the world, which, I mean, that's been a lot, obviously, the last couple of weeks. So it is a good thing that we have two guests today that are going to talk to you about how you can learn about mental health in the workplace.
Right. But first, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will be talking to the founders of Album Health and learn about mental health in the workplace. Be right back.
It was just after the rain came, just before the sun. And I began to realize what we had done. Don't tell nobody, nobody should know how we kept the records on and danced all across the floor. Just so you know. Our song,
hiding out in the shadows and hanging on the wall. Fall in slow motion, I'm in and out of dreams. I took a look in the rearview mirror to know if you follow me. Just so you know, I'd let my heart go tumbling for you. These words are nothing more than an everlasting burning fire. Oh, for you. Oh, 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 oh. You will go wherever you go, and I will surely follow, and I will go where the sun will shine the brightest. When it's on my soul, when it's just after the rain came, just before the flood, but I may never come down from the clouds that I'm above.
Hey, we're back. Thanks for tuning in to Insight of the Mind. I'm Julie, along with my co-host, Carrie, talking today about mental health in the workplace, a topic that is finally being addressed by employers who recognize that mental health is most certainly tied into the ability to carry out your job duties and not to mention daily tasks. So to talk more about this, let me introduce one of our two guests today. Dr. John Brandon is the Chief Learning Officer for Album Health. Dr. Brandon is also a licensed psychologist with a PhD in counseling psychology from the University of Southern Mississippi. He has spent more than 20 years working in university counseling centers and private practice, providing individual and group counseling and assessment, as well as ongoing training, supervision, teaching, and research. With Album Health, Dr. Brandon provides training and supervision to the company's health coaches, and he also designed the digital emotional health program. Dr. Brandon lives in Ames, Iowa with his spouse and kids, and his hobbies include golf, cooking, and collecting music.
Welcome. And also we're going to welcome Dr. Aaron Quinn. Dr. Quinn is the CEO and co-founder of Album Health. Dr. Quinn is a licensed psychologist with a PhD in counseling psychology from Iowa State University. He has a background in health psychology with a particular focus on digital health implications on emotional health, health behaviors and outcomes. He also has a master's degree from Iowa State University in exercise science. Additionally, Dr. Quinn is the board president of Iowa Kids Strong Incorporated. He works as a sports psychologist with individual athletes and teams. And personally, Dr. Quinn lives in Des Moines with his spouse and kids, and his hobbies include watching and playing baseball, exercise, and cooking. Welcome.
Welcome, Dr. Brandon and Dr. Quinn. And again, thank you both, you know, for taking the time to be with us today and talk about what we see as a fantastic approach to working towards good mental health in the workplace. So welcome, you guys. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Carrie and Julie. It's great to be here.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having us.
You bet. So let's just dive right into this, you guys. You know, when and how did Album Health get started?
This is Aaron, and I'll take this one. I'm a co-founder of Album Health, and it really has sort of interesting beginnings. And I'll do a little bit of self-disclosure here. It seems like a guest has done in the past from the police department. I was playing minor league baseball in the mid to late 90s before I came to Iowa, and I started out of the blue to have panic attacks. Like everybody else, when you have a panic attack, you panic.
Right.
And I ended up being put on the disabled list for the team I was playing for, and they flew me back home, and I started treatment. Basically, I started in some counseling, and I was put on a medication at that time, but I, you know, the sky was clearly falling, and I recall one specific day. I'm leaving my parents' house and going to an appointment, and they live in a, you know, a typical city in the Northeast. And I'm driving to the appointment, and I'm saying, "Wow, you know, this is a real struggle. I'm really having a difficult time getting myself up off the floor, and this anxiety is debilitating." And I'm looking out the window as I'm going to my appointment. You know, my family's very well connected medically, and I'm seeing, you know, top tier people. And I looked out the window and just really connected to other people at that point. I saw people just walking around and, you know, sitting in front of their house. And I was going through a particularly impoverished area and saying, "Boy, how many of these people are feeling exactly what I feel, but they don't have the tools to get themselves up on their feet?" And so I felt this calling at that point to not only become a psychologist and sort of dedicate my life to mental health, but to do something that was scalable and something that we can bring to many people and give people access to the tools they need to really get themselves on their feet. So that was the beginnings. And then really worked on that methodology in clinical practice and private practice. And then we trialed the methodology and commercialized in a large Des Moines employer and said, "Hey, let's test this out on your population. Let's see if we can bring this to everybody and people can improve, you know, those in need." And it's been a real success. So it's just, that's been the journey of Album Health.
Wow, that's great.
That's amazing. And I love that, like what you said, being able to bring that to every population. That's so important.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing your personal story. It's powerful. And I think a lot of people can relate and connect to that. What makes mental health challenges in the workplace different from, you know, other settings in life?
Yeah, I'll jump in on that one. I think that the most obvious reason is that mental health challenges in the work setting are going to affect people's livelihoods and potentially the livelihood of their families. So it's no longer just managing a relationship outside of work or just trying to get out of bed, which are certainly challenging sometimes for folks, but it's also about income, about keeping a roof over your head, about keeping food in the picture. So it can really be challenging in that way when mental health issues are coming in and affecting your day-to-day performance and livelihood. It's also part of what's challenging is that mental health challenges never really leave the person. So it's going to affect you all day at work. They may wax and wane to some degree depending on the condition, but it's going to be something that's a big chunk of your workday. Career satisfaction plays a huge role in our overall happiness. And so impact from mental health on job performance and can really affect a person's overall happiness in their life because they're potentially seeing some decline there. One of the things that employers are starting to figure out, which is really helpful to see, is that mental health challenges affect people in the workplace differently than health challenges do. So if a person has a heart condition or diabetes or various health conditions, they may see some impact to others around them to some degree. But when there's a mental health challenge going on, a mental health condition or problem, that's going to impact a wide range of people in the office potentially. So their ability to lead or be a part of teams effectively, to communicate effectively in meetings or in other ways. And so one person with significant mental health challenges affects a whole large group of people around them potentially. So that's you know, one of the main ways that it can affect people in the work setting and can ultimately be it's costly for the employer in a sense too.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And let me, John, I want to just comment on that quick if I could. Coming from the law enforcement standpoint, you know, when we talk about secondary trauma, I mean, a lot of our officers do experience that because, as you know, I mean, this is a high stress, high chaotic industry. And, you know, making sure that, you know, these officers are taking care of their mental health, you know, at home, but, you know, at the workplace too. Like you said, that That is so important because it affects not only them, but the team, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The what I hear you describing there is a concept I've done a lot of research in called vicarious traumatization.
Yes.
Also sometimes called secondary traumatic stress, mm-hmm. Or compassion fatigue. And that's something that affects helpers across the board, whether it's counselors or ER folks, paramedics, police officers. Finding those folks have to find ways of successfully managing their own reactions in order to persist and be helpful to others. Right. So mental health issues play a huge role in those kinds of professions as well.
So what kinds of mental health problems are we talking about? So what is common in the workplaces that you see?
Yeah, it's, I think one of the neat things about Album Health and our ability to work with employers and companies and big populations is we really get to look at trends in those populations and understand what's going on and understand what sort of treatment people are getting and understand what they have access to and what they don't. And in general, a little off the question, but mental health and emotional health is a real force right now, and companies are looking to build solutions. And what we see as far as what sort of issues present, really kind of consistent with the general population, are anxiety disorders. So across mm-hmm. that anxiety spectrum, panic disorder, generalized anxiety disorder, but also the mood disorders are very common. So that includes the adjustment disorder component. We see a lot of that. So psychosocial stressors impacting mm-hmm. people in the workplace, of course. Sometimes that's work-based, which creates some interesting scenarios, but mm-hmm. also depression. And we do see less, as you'd expect, of the more severe mental illnesses in the company. So, less schizophrenia, mm-hmm. Less bipolar disorder. But the thing that's some of the diagnoses that have really been trending, ADHD in particular, is moving very, very quickly. And some substance use as well. So substance use care is very costly and very impactful, of course, on somebody's work. But those are two. And ADHD is just skyrocketing in the workplace. That's the one that's really growing.
Aaron, tell me more about that. Why do you think that that's occurring?
It's been trending upwards for the last few years as has spending related to ADHD, primarily medication care. And it seems like as a community, I'm saying the mental health community, mm-hmm. we become more capable of diagnosing effectively. People are more aware of ADHD and its impact. It really seemed to start with kids, but now, so we saw a growth in the number of kids-based diagnoses. But I think as that happened, the second effect was that parents, adults said, hey, wait a second. I also experienced this as a kid. And yeah, I'm very, what about me? I have trouble sustaining attention. I'm really distractible. I'm constantly up and moving and have a difficult time sitting still. So that's led them to get their own diagnoses and really start care, which is a great thing that they've been able to do that and sort of understand from the kids' diagnoses that the adults are carrying that. So that's the main one we've really seen growth in recent years.
And then the substance use, mm-hmm. there's so many reasons for that. I mean, one, we know that folks who do struggle with mental illness, it's very common to mm-hmm. Use substances as a way to cope. But I mean, I'm curious too, just, do you think that I feel there's a greater angst in society. Do you think that with that angst that, people are looking to drugs and alcohol as a way to cope with that as well?
Yeah, I mean, you two know mental health very well, as does John. And you know, I'm trying to project forward when we look back on this year's information and what's happening related to diagnoses and what trends are we seeing. I'm fearful that we will see a little bit of a spike in substance use as people try to care with the things that they're feeling. I know me, for example, have much higher stress than normal, particularly when COVID first hit. It's like, whoa, life is different, and different equals stress for many people. And they pull out the tools that they know and are handy. And in many cases, that's having a drink or using some sort of substance to help sort of calm and manage more effectively. So yeah, I'm fearful that we will see some increases for sure. And definitely some increases on the mental health front. I know that's been well documented, is that that's that sort of second wave. There are these physical health impacts directly from COVID, but the mental health is what's really going to experience a hit, and people are struggling.
Yeah, you guys are you're right on with that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people try to make sense of what's going on in the world around them, and sometimes it's a lot easier to, you know, connect with some substances. You talked a little bit about, you know, the physical differences, you know, if somebody's struggling at work, and right now, you know, as people go back to work, a lot of people, like physically, you can see that they're wearing a mask to deal with COVID at work. They may be having a lot of hand sanitizer on their desk, washing their hands. But are there other particular challenges that people are facing right now as they go back to work in regards to COVID?
Yeah. I think certainly you hit on a lot of those at the top of the show. But I think anxiety by far is the biggest kind of mental health challenge right now that folks are dealing with. And as Aaron mentioned, a lot of that's just from change. People are being asked to do more with less, in their work settings. They don't have access to the same kinds of resources they used to have, whether they're teleworking from home or back in the office. And some people aren't available because folks are being phased in terms of working on site, having to rejuggle parenting issues of how to take care of kids now that they're back in the office, versus that was a stress before of trying to parent while working from home, is challenging to a lot of folks. So I think there's a lot of disruption still out there, even with folks going back. And of course, there's anxieties and fears around contraction. Just because we're all coming back to work doesn't mean that the virus is gone.
Right.
And I think that we see right now, John, you know, with and Aaron too, that with things, you know, trying to go back to normal, you know, we're seeing a spike, you know, in the number of cases. And so again, there's that anxiety and fear.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you mentioned also at the top of the show, you mentioned fears of budget cuts and furloughs and losing jobs. And, you know, anecdotally, I have a physician friend who was told to expect a salary cut of 70% from his clinic by the end of the year. And, you know, folks at all socioeconomic levels are facing those kinds of challenges right now.
Right. So what kinds of programs, you know, are in place to help people improve their health and mental health in the workplaces?
Yeah, companies have really put programs in place that are moving the needle related to health and mental health. Of course, general health and physical health sort of started first. And the traditional model of a wellness program at a company was getting people active, getting people eating better, eating more fruits and vegetables, maybe engaging in some volunteerism. So putting a gym in place so there's actual infrastructure at the site to take care of their physical health. And those programs are still sort of in place, and that infrastructure is in place. And later came challenges, health challenges. I know I do at least one per year. Probably everybody on this call has access to some sort of health challenge where we're challenged to get in more steps or lose weight or drink more water or take care of our stress. And those are fun. They can help people begin and initiate a process and feel that social support that's important when you're trying to change a behavior and sustain a behavior. So those tools are in place, along with a little more personalized approaches. So people have health screenings annually, and they are better monitoring their health numbers, both mental and physical health. And then they have sort of personalized approaches, which can be something like health coaching. It can be, it's of course access to EAPs are present at most employers. So that's dealing with acute mental health situations. That's present at work counseling is typically present in most employer settings. And that has really shifted now with COVID to a more digital and telehealth solution. I mean, we're all seeing our providers digitally. So, a real push right now is to have the ability to connect to this sort of wellness ecosystem digitally, and particularly to be able to walk around and it's on your phone and I can connect to what I need on my phone. So those are some of the programs that are in place. Insurance carries their own, usually condition management programs. And, you know, we at Album, we'll probably get into this a little bit later about what we do, but we really position emotional health and try to hit hard on that and see that as the real moderator to overall health and change. So
all good stuff. And we're gonna take a quick break. But when we come back, we are going to continue talking with Dr. Brandon and Dr. Quinn with Album Health, who are going to share with us some more great information on how we can make sure that we have good mental health in the workplace. So we'll be right back.
I'm packing my bags today. It's hard to leave if you cannot stay. Keep my room open. Keep my door open, and just in case I return. I never want to hear you say goodbye. And all I want to hear you say to me tonight, I'm wishing you luck in love. I'm wishing you luck in love.
it's gonna last.
Welcome back to Inside of the Mind. I'm Carrie, along with my co-host Julie here. Our guests today are Dr. Brandon and Dr. Quinn from Album Health, and they've been taking the time to chat with us today. Lots of great information. Guys, can you, if somebody out there is listening, an employer, and they're thinking, wow, I really should, you know, do something to help my employees, what kind of programs should employers have in place if they're serious about employees' mental health?
Yeah, Carrie, my message to employers and decision makers out there are, number one, do something. Yes, this is the time, you know, the time was really yesterday to do something about mental health, but it is really the time to get serious about this and bring resources and bring tools that are needed to ensure the best emotional health and really the best quality of life to your employees. I think that's a responsibility that employers have. And it's something that we really focus on and help to create a culture of emotional wellness in employer settings. And really what an employer should be thinking about is that continuum, like everything else, you know, meeting people where they are. Some people really have to, on one end of the continuum, understand what mental health is. You know, they aren't aware of whether or not they have symptoms. So the ability to self-assess, how am I doing from an emotional health standpoint? And from there, further educate themselves on different conditions, different symptoms, and then move into tools to actually promote the best emotional and physical and mental health. And right. That can be anything from access to care, access to specialist care, you know, treating providers. It can be digital therapies. There's an emergence of something called a digital therapy, which is really access to things that we know well, like cognitive behavioral therapy online. So you can go through and by diagnosis, work on things and change the way you think and change the way you behave. We develop what we call personalized behavior plans with people where we look at their conditions if they're present, the goals that they have. We connect them to health coaches who act as sort of a personal assistant and help them engage in those health behaviors, help them assess how well they're working. So that's kind of like a treatment plan.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sort of the continuum that needs to be in place. And of course, I talked about earlier that the crisis and acute solutions as well. So people need help many times immediately. I'm in a crisis. This is going on. So that's where an EAP or some other crisis services come into play as well across that continuum. So I think that is crucial at this point in time.
Let me go back.
I would just quickly add, if employers are looking for a good model to follow, take a look at what Meredith Corporation is doing. Meredith is a large Des Moines-based company, and they're really a national leader in employee wellness and have a number of programs. Now, in all full disclosure, we are one of those programs and have worked with them for quite a while. But they have a whole variety of programs, and folks who are in the employer wellness space know Meredith well. So I'd encourage people looking around to take a look at them as a great model.
And I want to go back to how Album Health takes a look at individuals, and you have that personalized plan.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, because a couple weeks ago when we were talking on our show, I said, you know, when we take a look at people who have cancer, okay, they have a treatment team, right? And they're physicians and there's natural supports, all of these different things in combination to help that person. And it's personalized towards them and their recovery. And it should be no different when we talk about mental health. And I love that you have that personalized plan, you know, when you take a look at that individual and say, okay, here is your plan to recovery. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, amen, Julie. We fully agree. And there are teams put together and integrative approaches put together for a lot of physical health issues, mental health is sort of slowly catching up, and it seems to be maybe schizophrenia will have a treatment team potentially in place. Of course, that's more severe, but we need to really move down the continuum and be more inclusive and have the same approach, fully agree, in the mental health realm.
So how do mental health and health, how do they relate to one another?
Well, they relate very strongly. You know, to the listeners out there, we use a term comorbidity, and that means that conditions occur together, and there is very high comorbidity, or the presence of physical and emotional health conditions together. There's a classic, if you type it in Google, you'll see one of those Venn diagrams with two circles that basically overlap. So what it says is that if you have an emotional health condition, you very likely have a physical health condition as well, and vice versa. If a physical health condition is in place, and this is an important fact, that you likely have an emotional health condition as well. There is some chicken or egg, what causes what, but actually the research shows that emotional health tends to be more typically causal, and the one that's sort of the foundation upon which other conditions occur. And that's important, an important message for people to hear, because if you're really looking to improve, it's like that integrative plan we're talking about, that you really have to think about the whole health. You as a total person, address the physical and the emotional health pieces. And I know many times people will become frustrated that, this physical condition, this pain, et cetera, is just not going anywhere. It's not budging. Well, probably a piece of the puzzle is being missed. That are things you can do with your thinking. There are things you can do with your behavior. There are things that you can do just related to improving your overall emotional health that will actually accelerate, you know, the reduction in pain, for example.
Right. Yeah, that is all so true.
Yeah, and I think it's a great point too that you know, in the last, I don't know, few years, maybe 10 years or so, I've, you know, noticed that employers are really started off focusing on the physical health and how we can help our employees be physically healthy. But now that we're shifting to, you know, mental health, you know, how do you guys make that work, in the sense of some people may not want their employer to know that they're struggling, or, you know, with the stigma around mental health and that? How do you guys help address that with employers?
Yeah, so one thing, creating a culture of emotional health is something that we work with the employer to foster. So communications, marketing campaigns, opportunities, destigmatizing mental health is sort of step one. You have to have the population sort of understand that, yeah, this is a condition just like a physical condition. There's nothing different here. The approaches are very much the same. There is a continuum. You need to assess. You need to stay on top of your numbers. And really normalizing mental health and having people understand, you know, in any given year, you know, 3 out of 10 people are struggling with a condition. And usually people say, yeah, there is somebody in my family system who struggled. So people can relate. They've dealt with it themselves. They know others who have dealt with it. So normalizing, destigmatizing. It's interesting. I think we've really made great strides in the Midwest since I've been here. I've been here since 1997 on being more open to discussing emotional health. And John, you were in the counseling center at Iowa State. I know you saw sort of trends to openness there about saying, yeah, I am having a struggle. Yes, this is going on. I'm from the East Coast originally, where it was very much, if you didn't have your own personal therapist, that was weird. So that was a different move for me. It's really been positive. And it seems to me, when we first started in the commercial space in 2015 to now, fast forwarding to now, this is a much more open discussion. People are much more comfortable saying, yes, we do have an emotional health condition. And we also come in, and when we work with people, we meet them where they are. Okay, what's happening with you? What do you want to work on? And that puts it in sort of the ball on their side of the court to discuss things. And we do a little bit of nudging, of course, like, hey, looks like your stress ratings were a little bit high. And people are, you know, pretty open. There is that way that actual humans know how to work with other humans and help foster that behavior change.
The piece I would add to that too, to your question, Carrie, is that our information does not flow back from us to the employer. So we're a third party vendor when we're in an employer setting like that. And we would let the employer know if somebody has completed the program, but that's it. So we're not sharing condition information back with the employer. And the way that information works within those settings is employers typically don't know conditions that their specific employees might have. So that frees people more when they understand that.
Sure.
That frees people more to talk with us about those kinds of things and accept referrals or get access to resources that sort of behavior. So
that's great. That's great information right there.
So how do you work then in conjunction with other health services or benefits?
Yeah, Julie, you basically articulated this for us when we talked about the personalized plan. So we actually have a behavior plan, a personalized behavior plan that is a list of health behaviors, basically. So if somebody is using other tools, engaged in other resources, of course, most people meet with their provider with some frequency. We keep everything and we house everything in this really handy dandy personalized plan that's on employees' phones. So we are able to look at exactly what they're doing. We're able to really hub their health behaviors. And we are able to also look at how those health behaviors are driving health outcomes. So we think it's really important to measure your health. Look at how well what you're doing is working. You might be engaging in taking some sort of supplement and you're spending hundreds of dollars, but it's not working. We think that in our system, what we know is we're able to help people better sort of titrate what they're doing and self-care, practice the best self-care possible. So Hub is what we knew we wanted to do, and we wanted to make it mobile, and we wanted to make it really simple and convenient for people. So that's how we really integrate and help integrate the other solutions and make it simple for employees.
How effective is it? Like, how do you guys measure the success of Album Health? It sounds like a great, great company.
Yeah, thank you. It's getting back to that sort of mission of let's get a solution that works to people and let's get it to people and make it really simple and help them enact change. Of course, it better work. This might be this great plan that we've developed, but we're not seeing the results. It's been very effective, and we have year on year on year on year analytics showing how this has worked, and it's worked as far as delivering physical and emotional health outcomes, which we carefully measure. So typical employers gather biometric data on a year-on-year manner. So we're able to look at those numbers change. We also have emotional health numbers and rating scales that we deliver directly to participants, and we've seen changes there. But we're measuring in our system somebody's health engagement, their adherence to the plan that they create, their satisfaction with the plan and their experience, but also the effectiveness is that biometric and psychometric outcomes that we're looking at. And we're looking to drive numbers across all of those areas, and we have. And the real front door is engagement. People are paying attention to what they're supposed to be doing. They're paying attention to health behaviors. They're aware of what they are. Therefore, they do them.
Right. And, you know, you guys are doing something. This is so progressive, and your Album Health is such a trendsetter. And I think it's fair to say that there's other countries that have been doing this for a long time, and they see the success that you are talking about. They have identified that mental health, physical health, spiritual health, they're all tied together and need to be addressed, personalized, as you are talking about. And again, I mean, I can't emphasize enough, you know, you see a lot of success in other countries, and you are addressing this and definitely, you know, a pioneer. This is just fantastic information. And, you know, I definitely do agree that, you know, employers need to be mindful of this and aware that there are tools and supports out there that can help their employees.
Yes, and thank you. I agree that there's other solutions and other companies. You know, Israel is one that jumps to mind, where they've been gathering data related to health in their population. They just invested heavily in that, but they turn that data around and evidence around and create solutions for their population. And the goal is to have the healthiest population they can, and people be happy and productive and have great relationships. So I think that's where we're moving.
So I have one last question for you guys, and it's a big one. I hope you're ready. So how do you address employee health during the current pandemic?
Yeah, our approach, our system is particularly well suited for that, because we didn't get into all the particulars of the model, but our health coaches are using the app to monitor compliance with the determined health behaviors. Those health behaviors, by the way, are generated from resources like the World Health Organization, the CDC, the recommended guidelines from different professional medical organizations. So we're not prescribing those behaviors. We're connecting people to them. And then physicians on the employee side, so their personal physicians, take a look at that and say, yeah, this looks great. But we're particularly well suited for it because of the way that we already work with folks. Our health coaches are reaching out through phone contact, again, through the app and private messaging. We have a HIPAA compliant app that folks use to track their health behaviors and outcomes. So we're already set up to work in a digital space, but it's more effective when a person does have that real life connection to a health coach. So they feel that accountability in the mm-hmm. process. And there's somebody on the other end paying attention. It's not just a computer. So that really sets us up well for the current pandemic, in terms of people can stay connected to resources. And our coaches are also connecting people to those outside resources, sites, whether it's for health information, around COVID or other issues like CDC, World Health Organization, also just sites to help with stress management, entertaining sites that are out there, and keeping people connected to those as well. So, like I said, we were already set up well for this type of very difficult situation with the pandemic.
Yeah, that's great, because again, as we know that, you know, it's been really hard for everyone, that connection piece. Mm-hmm. And so it's so good to know that already you have that in place, and you know the importance of that. I know that's, again, it's been so hard, you know, for all of us to adapt, you know, losing that personal connection. But both of you, thank you guys so much. Thank you, Dr. Brandon, you. Dr. Quinn from Album Health, for being here to share how you can take control of your mental health in the workplace. We can't thank you enough for the hard work that you are doing.
Yes,
on behalf of so many people. And we're very excited to see how this continues to grow. And we appreciate you being on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was wonderful to be here. Thank you.
You bet. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will continue to talk about mental health in the workplace.
When that sun is on my face, that's when I know I'm in the right place. When you're here, I'm feeling right. That's when I know I'm open wide. So
So open wide, right down to the heart of it. So open wide, yes, I feel the best of it is yet to come. So open wide.
Inside of the Mind. This is Carrie and Julie talking about mental health in the workplace. And again, thank you to Dr. Brandon and Dr. Quinn from Album Health for, you know, sharing their knowledge and insights. I mean, great information.
Absolutely. And I certainly hope there's a lot of employers out there that are listening that take note at what they can do to help their employees, not only with their overall health, but we know that that is only going to create more success in the workplace. And, you know, I don't know about you, Carrie, but having more tools and resources in my own toolbox, the more I feel that I'm in control and that I can, you know, I can manage my stress, especially now, not only with COVID, but everything going on in law enforcement. I think it's so important that we are mindful to put into practice those things or tools that help you feel good, right? To be able to cope with the ups and downs of life, you know, whether that be health, family, you know, whatever negative things or things, right, that can cause your mental health to suffer. You know, we joke about Gwen, right, my hammock.
Yep.
We joke about that a lot, but truth be told, I have actually made my hammock part that's part of my daily routine that allows me to decompress from work, all of the different, the negative things that I hear every single day, the crisis situations that I'm involved in. And it gives me this time to just be quiet, you know, listening to music, my audiobooks, doing meditation, daily exercise. You know, that's something that I know that I need to do to stay grounded. So again, you know, being intentional about making sure that you're taking care of your mental health every day is so important for overall good health, but right, and it transitions into overall good mental health in, you know, the workplace.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Dr. Brandon and Dr. Quinn, you know, had a really, you know, great point of mind, body, spirit concept. So if any of you out there, there's a lot of great services that can help you in your time of need. Anybody out there is struggling with mental health right now, Mobile Crisis offers trained, compassionate counselors who are available over the phone and in person 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can access this service by calling 1-844-258-8858. And NAMI Central Iowa, they also have some wonderful support groups for people out there. But again, if you're struggling with any mental health issues, call Mobile Crisis 1-844-258-8858.
You know, if need be, also, we've said this before, you can also call 911. The dispatchers are trained. They do an amazing job to get that information out to our officers. And here in Ames,
You know, our police officers are CIT trained. They're trained in mental health crisis. They do an amazing job of de-escalating and working with folks in a mental health crisis. So you don't have to suffer in silence. So this is Julie and Carrie. We will be returning to speak more about mental